Opportunity to maybe share a testimony about motherhood. Maybe it was your mother, maybe it's some things that God has taught you or just some other things. So we'll have an opportunity for that this evening during the evening service. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10 is where we'll begin this morning. As we think about Mother's Day, one of the things that is easy to remember or can be difficult to remember is a gift. How many of you struggled to find the perfect gift this year for Mother's Day? How many of you are still struggling to find that perfect gift today for Mother's Day? I mean, we can go through all of these different scenarios, and Sunday morning we can only come up with so much because we've only got about 10 minutes before Mom's going to wake up, right? Or all sorts of different things that can go on through our minds and our hearts as we go through this stuff. But we think about the perfect gift for Mom. Maybe your mother has passed away, and you can't give her a gift this year. Maybe it was a recent passing, and just Mother's Day brings all sorts of emotions of, I wish I could give my mom a gift this year. I wish I could tell her one more time I loved her. For those of us who have mothers still alive, let's not wait till someday we say, I wish I did, but let's do that. Even today, that gift. But as we think about gifts, what is the best gift for Mom? Now, your mom might like chocolate, right? And there we go. Your mom might like chocolate. Your mom might like perfume. Your mom might like all of the house cleaned and dishes done, teenagers, right? Your mom might like you to prepare a meal so she doesn't have to cook anything. And hopefully she'll enjoy eating that too, right? Your mom might like all sorts of things. But what can we give Mom, even if our mom has passed away, what is a gift that we can think about for Mother's Day? I think one of the best gifts in life for Mom is the spiritual gift. Not giving so much to Mom, but living for God. As we think about what the Bible talks about with mothers, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're reminded about Mom. Earlier in this book, we're reminded of Mom and Grandma. But Paul reminds a young man, Timothy, about his mother. Now, Timothy was a pastor. And as a young man, he lived for God. But there was much that was given him. And the Apostle Paul says, continue thou in the things thou hast learned. I think one of the best gifts we can give our mother is living a godly life. Now, you may say, but my mom isn't even saved. That means nothing to her. But if you and I live a godly life before an unsaved mother, that can help point her to the Savior, which is the best thing that she could ever have. If you and I live a godly life before even an ungodly mom, maybe she's saved, but she's not living for God anymore. Living a godly life and being that godly testimony is one of the best things that she could have for Mother's Day this year. And maybe it's the legacy. Your mom has implanted that in your life, and she is no longer with you. Are you living that legacy of a godly generation and thus passing that on to your kids to live that legacy and to those around us to live the legacy of godly lifestyle? As we already talked this morning, Mother's Day evokes all sorts of emotions. For some, motherhood is an accident and not always a welcome one. For some, biological motherhood isn't possible. For some, mothers weren't all that nice. Maybe your mom wasn't all that nice and you struggle with Mother's Day because of that. For some, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still less than a bed of roses and a primrose path. It's not always easy. For all its stumbling blocks, pitfalls, and broken dreams, for all the dirty diapers, dirty wallpaper, and spoiled plans of life, we're talking about a beautiful ideal, a natural part of God's creative plan. Who instituted motherhood? God did. And we don't always understand the difficult circumstances that surround motherhood. Why not me? Or why such a difficult mom? Or why such difficulty with my kids? But God had instituted this. As we think about that, we remember God and that God instituted motherhood. And when we think about His creative plan to bring love and caring to light, motherhood is a constant demand for the gift of love and caring. As we think about motherhood, and we think about some of these emotions that are involved in it, and we think about the best gift, how can I leave today and not have just gone to church again? But how can I leave today with that best gift for Mom? Living that godly life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, many of us know that verse. Children, what? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I could have asked you teenagers and you would have quoted it in your sleep, right? Man, I know that and I've been taught that and that's been enforced on me. But verse 2 goes on and says, honor thy father and thy... I find it very interesting. As the Apostle Paul used words, remember all scripture is given by inspiration. We'll talk about that. But as the Word of God was inspired, every word is important and God placed it there for a reason. He says, children, obey your parents. But he goes on and says, honor thy father and thy mother. There's a certain point of obedience, yes. God has placed the man to be the leader of the home and the wife, and the children have to obey the parents. This is the rules, the groundwork as a family. But then there's a point of honoring each individually. Not just my parents, but my dad and my mom. And as we think about Mother's Day and honoring Mom, what is one of the best ways we can do that? You know, we challenge our kids, or you were challenged as a kid. There are certain things that are not honoring to your mother. You know, even Josiah, as I work with him, and there are some things that him and I can do or that he can do and we deal with, but if he does it to Mom, it's so much worse. Because there's an honoring the mom that's so important. And as we think about honoring our moms, and as Timothy was challenged with this aspect to honor his mother, what is one of the best ways we can do that? By living a godly life. And let me tell you, it's not just going to church on Sundays. That's not honoring Mom. Well, Mom raised me in the church and that's what it's all about. No, it's not about that. Though the more godly we are, I do believe the higher priority we place in the local church and the importance of it. But the reality of life is to honoring our parents, it's living that godly lifestyle, as Paul challenges Timothy a little bit later. Verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 6 said, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? Promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now we know that that's not always true. It's not always the case. People may honor their parents and God allows them to die young deaths. But even as a general rule, honoring our parents, there's blessing from God. So number one, as we remember this Mother's Day, one of the best gifts I can give my mom, whether she's alive or she's not, is number one, I need to remember the lessons I've learned. Remember the lessons you've learned. In chapter 3, verse number 10, the Apostle Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a what? Child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Throughout this passage of Scripture, we see the article, but, multiple times. But, continue thou. But, thou hast known. but evil men. And as we think about these breaks in this passage, we must remember the lessons we've learned. Lessons learned from godly examples. Aren't you thankful for godly examples in your life? You may say, but my mom wasn't that godly example. But aren't you thankful that someone was? Maybe you say, but I didn't grow up. My parents didn't teach me anything about God. In fact, some of you in this room, maybe you've lived most of your life and you just got saved. Aren't you thankful for those godly examples in your life? And Paul is challenging Timothy, you've known me. Remember the lessons you've learned from godly examples. And Paul was this godly example to Timothy that here we see. But you think about those godly examples in your life. What are some of the things that Paul reminds Timothy? Remember these things. You know. Well, in verse 10 he says, thou hast fully known my what? My doctrine. We think about doctrine. Beliefs of life. You know, we all have a belief system in life, and that belief system dictates the way we live. And it changes the way I live. If I believe that tall grass is ugly, I'll go out and do what to my lawn? Mow it. That belief system affects me. But this belief system that Paul is talking about is so much more than mowing the grass. It's a belief that God is real. In fact, we're reminded in Hebrews that we believe that God is, that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him diligently. God is alive. And God makes a difference in life. And that belief system will change the way you live tomorrow morning. Not just get you up on Sunday mornings to go to church. This affects every day of life. Honoring mom is not just because I went to church Sunday on Mother's Day. And man, I am so thrilled for those of you who are here on Mother's Day. And maybe you don't ever come any other time of the year. Thank you for honoring your mom today. But this is not just honoring mom to come to church. But it's honoring mom in every day of life by putting God first. Paul says, you've known my doctrine. He goes on, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, the way of life, how he lived, that it made a difference in his tent making. Throughout the Apostle Paul's life and full-time ministry, there were times where he was a tent maker and he would make tents for a living. He had a job. And as he did this, his life was affected by his belief system. That means Monday morning there was a difference. And Monday afternoon it affected the way he spoke when he was trying to sell a tent or when he was cutting that fabric. And that's what it is for my life and for your life. I must remember the lessons I've learned from these godly examples, the beliefs, the way of life, the motivations for life. He says not just the manner of life, but purpose. Do you have a purpose for life? You know, sometimes we wonder, what is my purpose? Moms, have you ever wondered, what is my purpose? It seems like I'm doing nothing and accomplishing nothing. I don't have strength to go on, and what is going to happen? And Paul says, you've known my purpose. The motivations of life. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That means as we live out our purpose, it doesn't always look successful to those around us. What difference am I making anyway? But moms, you are. Keep living that and living that way of life and teaching that doctrine and showing that purpose. Paul is reminding Timothy, hey, you've had some godly examples. Remember these things, the motivations of life, and then really the details of life. And these next couple verses, he just goes through detail after detail. Timothy, you've known these things about me, not just my purpose, but faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came at me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the who? Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So honoring mom, and specifically honoring God through difficult situations of life, the details of life. Details get monotonous at times, don't they? I mean, I have to find one more sock to match with. I've been working on folding socks how long now? Or I have to cook, or I have to clean my fridge again, or whatever. The details of life get monotonous. But Paul's saying, you've known all my character through the details of life. You have godly examples. So as we think about our moms and honoring moms on Mother's Day, let's remember the lessons we've learned from, yes, godly examples. Hopefully your mother was one of those godly examples. But if not, you have others that God has used in your life. And are you being a godly example? You say, well, I don't have any kids. I'm not a mom. God wants to use you as a godly example in others' lives. Paul was used by God. And thinking about it in a real sense, he wasn't Timothy's dad. Now at times he called him his son from that spiritual relationship. And we talked about that earlier for foster and mentor and spiritual moms. But there is a special relationship. Are you showing that godly example to others around you? Remembering those lessons that we've learned from godly examples. But then really Paul says, remember those lessons you've learned from ungodly examples. How many of you have ungodly people in your life? Right? That's just about all of us, isn't it? Maybe you say, man, I don't even know God. Well, the Bible makes it clear how you can. But maybe you say, well, man, I know I'm saved. I'm striving to live for God, but there are people around me that don't care about God. Well, look what Paul says about that. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Does that mean evil people are in the world today? And does that mean that evil people will affect us? Yes. But as we think about honoring mom, it's not letting those evil people influence us to do that way. In fact, turn back to the book of Proverbs, if you will. There's so many truths in Proverbs that we could look at. But Proverbs chapter 1. Thinking about this reality, remembering the lessons you learn from ungodly examples. Beginning in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, those godly examples in life, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners, and is that evil people and seducers, wicked men, or whatever that verse said that we looked at earlier? Yeah. My son, if sinners entice thee, what? Consent thou not. I don't have to listen. I don't have to let them direct my life. But I can remember the lessons I've learned and live for God. You have godly individuals in your life. And do you know how I know that? Because you chose to come here today. And maybe it's you've been raised for God, but maybe you just haven't. Remember the godly examples you have. Remember those ungodly examples you have. Learn from them. But then really, Paul goes on and he says, don't just remember from the godly examples and the ungodly examples. Sometimes people say, last but not least. In fact, I think Paul goes on, and as we see, even one a very important aspect, not putting himself over his mother, Timothy's mom. But verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, as Timothy was a child, he was taught. Were you ever a child? Okay, four of us in here, and it's all of us under 40. Okay. Okay, yeah, we were all kids, right? And we all had to learn something. Did you have to learn something? I mean, your parents didn't teach you to be mean, did they? Now, sometimes we learn that from, maybe you had mean parents. And you caught on to those things and you acted that way. But our parents didn't have to teach us to fight with our siblings. Now, I'm going to sit you down. This is how you pull your sister's hair. Okay, this is how you bite her when you get really angry. And man, this is how you kick him because he did this. No, those things, we didn't have to learn those things. But didn't our parents teach us a lot of things? Think about it. Your parents taught you to eat. Your mom taught you to eat, didn't she? Man, right from the very beginning. Just practical things in life. She taught you to eat. She taught you to walk. I mean, aren't you thankful? Maybe you had a pacifier as a baby. She taught you didn't have to suck on that for contentment. Wouldn't that be weird, 30-year-olds walking around with pacifiers, right? I mean, aren't you thankful for some of those physical things your mom taught you? You don't have to do that anymore. Just the practical skills of life, talking, walking, hand-eye coordination, right? Now, it's not necessarily rubbing your belly and patting your head, but the hand-eye coordination that you can bring a fork with food on it to your mouth, and it doesn't have to be handfuls, right? And just some of those practical skills our moms have taught us. Aren't you thankful that it saved you from some embarrassment as you were a teenager, right? I mean, it's like, whew! I mean, just so many practical lessons that our parents, our moms, taught us. And maybe you were involved in helping teach some of these things. And thankful for those who taught and mom remembering those lessons. You say, but I have nothing to thank my mom for. It was a mean situation, abusive situation. But you can still honor her because of her position that God has given. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. In fact, that can be one of the hardest things. And that doesn't mean you have to thank her for all she did, because you say, what did she really do? But remembering some of those practical lessons you learned. Not just the practical lessons in life, like those physical skills, but the personal hygiene. Right? Comb your hair, brush your teeth, clean yourself. Going through just some of those personal hygiene things. People skills. Where do we learn people skills? Well, some of our first people skills we learn at home. Our kid says no, right? We have to learn people skills. How do we respond when our parents say no? Is it no and we fight and scream? Well, we had to learn we didn't always get our way. Your mom helped you to learn some of those people skill things. And maybe it's, man, you remember struggling with that childhood friend who seemed like they hurt you bad, and your mom helped you through that. Or just other interpersonal relationship things that your mom helped you to learn. There are some practical skills your mom has helped you to learn. But Paul's not just wanting Timothy to remember those practical skills of being a friend or dealing with hurts in life. But he wants Timothy to remember the spiritual lessons his mom taught him. Go back to the first chapter of 2 Timothy. So we're in chapter 3. Go all the way back to chapter 1. And as Paul starts out this letter to Timothy, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved, what does he call him here? Now, this is not his biological son. But he had a father-like relationship with him. And maybe you have that with some kids in your life, or maybe there's someone who, man, that was like my mom. Our kids have that with some friends who they call them aunt and uncle, and man, there's no blood relation there. You know, maybe you've seen that with others. But Paul's saying, here's a spiritual son. I've been able to train him. And as he's calling him to Timothy, my son, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in what? Remembrance. Remembering those lessons you've learned, that thou stir up the gift of God. And he continues on. And yes, God used Paul. But he's saying, man, this all began because you had a grandma and a mom who invested in you. Maybe you're a grandma here, and maybe you're disheartened for the way your grandkids are being raised. Maybe they're not being raised for God. But take that role of influence and love as a grandma and invest. And maybe you don't have all that you desired. But maybe you do. And you see how your grandkids are being raised. But be that grandma who continues to invest in those grandkids. But Paul's reminding Timothy to honor by remembering the things he's been taught, by remembering the life lessons from godly examples and ungodly examples, but from his mom, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Confidence, no doubt that it's true. Number two, remember the importance of God's word. It's not just enough to remember the lessons you've learned. Maybe that's why you're at church today. You remember the lessons you learned and you wanted to honor mom. Praise God. Thank you for honoring mom today. But it's not just remembering those life lessons. Remember the importance of God's word in your life. See, Timothy couldn't live on his mom and his grandmother's faith. It wasn't enough for him to say, that's how I was raised, and then live however he wanted. But he had to remember the importance of God's word. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The importance of God's word. God's word is important as a young child. Oh, if you have young children in your home, I trust you are investing in them the word of God. Maybe you remember as a young child being taught the Word of God. I don't remember a time, and I'm thankful for this, I don't remember a time not knowing about God. But you know, I had to be taught that somewhere. It doesn't just come innate. Yes, we can know there's a God as we look at creation. But how did I know that Jesus loves me? And that Jesus died on the cross for my sin? It's because my mom and my dad, they had taught me. Texted my mom this morning, thanks for being a mom and raising me to live for God. And you know, my mom's response to me was very interesting. She was pointing back and said, praise God for my friend when I was 15 who pointed me to Jesus Christ. My mom wasn't raised to love God. She went to church a little bit when she had to. Her parents sent them for a little bit. Made it through her first communion, and then they were about done. But she had a friend when she was 15 who pointed her the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus. Remember for yourself that God's word is important. It's not just enough for your mom. It's not just enough for your grandma. We need to personally let God's word challenge us. Yes, from a young child, if we have kids. That's why we have our kids' programs. That's why we have our Sunday school classes and our Wednesday night Bible Light cadets. It's because we as a church family want to step alongside you as parents and help point to your kids how important God's word is. But I'm telling you, we can't do it. We are not here to raise your kids. We're here to help you teach your kids how important God's word is. So starting even as a young child, Timothy was reminded. This is important as a young child, but it's important for salvation. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but Jesus Christ, Acts says. So it's important for salvation. Maybe your mom had you in church growing up. Oh, as soon as I got out, I'm ready. Some of you shared, even this morning in Sunday school, we heard some of those testimonies of, went for a little bit, but started sleeping through my alarm clock. Whatever. But as we remember the importance of God's word for me, it's important for salvation. There is no way that you and I can have salvation outside of God's word. This is not religion. We don't come to church because it's the cool thing to do on Sunday mornings. Have you noticed it's not the cool thing to do? There's a lot more exciting things, humanly, that we could be doing. Have you watched, even in our small communities, this is not just a big city thing, people don't go to church. Have you watched in our small communities? People have all sorts of better stuff to do than go to church. So they think. One of the best things we need, though, is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. The way to honor mom is first by knowing, yes, God's word is important for salvation. I need to be saved. I remember I was 4.5 years old. How many of you remember being 4.5? Some of you, right? Okay. And I'm thankful. I can't remember much beyond that. But I'm thankful. I don't remember even much of being 4.5, but I sure remember this. It was summertime. We lived in rural Iowa. Small town. I'm guessing it was maybe a little bigger than Stockbridge. Lived in the trailer park. And there was something like a vacation Bible school in town. And it wasn't at the church we went to, but it was another one like-minded. And so I went. And after one of the lessons, I remember sitting next to the ball diamond fence and talking with the pastor of that church. And it was there I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Because God's word is important for salvation. As Paul told Timothy, to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. And it was that day I trusted Jesus as Savior. If you've never had that day in your life, friend, today is the day of salvation. You can't honor your mom in any better way than getting saved. Your mom, maybe you say, but she doesn't care about God. But when she realizes the God that you've learned to love and know, and if she gets saved too, that could be the best gift she could have. By her own children pointing her to the Lord. But if you're not saved, friend, today is the day. Timothy got saved as a young child. He was assured of those things. He was confident he was going to heaven. He didn't have to guess at it. But he knew Jesus had forgiven him of his sin. Can you look back in your life and see that time in your own life? Remember the importance of God's word for salvation. But remember the importance of God's word for a changed life. Look at verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration is not just it inspires me to do good. You know, like that song inspires me. It kind of motivates me to do good right now. This word for inspiration literally means God breathed. You know when it's cold and you go outside and you breathe, you can see your breath. You can't see it right now, hopefully. You can't see it, but you can feel it if you breathe hard enough, right? You can feel something's there. And when you go outside in the winter, you can see it. Well, we can see God's word literally breathed out. This is God's very word for you and me. And it affects not just our life for salvation, but for a changed life. It's given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Remember, we already talked about doctrine. The teaching, the belief system that I have. Profitable for doctrine. It goes on for reproof. It's useful for refuting error, for convincing one of error. Why is it that when we discipline our kids, we try to remind them Ephesians 6:1? Because we want our kids to see that you're not just doing something wrong because we say so, but because God says, children, what? Obey your parents. Using God's word to refute the error in their life. Because that's what God's word does for me. When your kid lies, is there any hope? Well, yeah. But how do you show them they're wrong? Well, I think it's right for me. Well, of course not. Lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord, and they that deal truly are to His delight. So many other sins that we can deal with as we deal with our kids, or maybe as you've dealt with. But as we think of our own lives, the Bible will refute the error in our lives and show us what's wrong. It's good for reproof. But then not just for reproof, it's good for correction as to what is practically wrong in life. To help us get right. It goes on for correction and then for instruction in righteousness. Not just how to get right, but how to stay right. To discipline my life for righteousness' sake. That gift of honoring mom as you live a godly life, yes, you need to be saved. But then this book, the Word of God, will dictate and direct our lives so that tomorrow morning there will be a difference. I won't be the same employee that I would have been before I got saved. Or even last week. Because I'm growing this week and I'm learning to honor God in a greater way. I won't do the same things or react in the same ways. And man, so many of those things are easy to do wrong, but God's Word wants to change our lives. Honor mom with a changed life. Not just by coming to church because it's Mother's Day. Honor God by honoring your mom. We think about this. It's not just remembering the lessons you've learned. It's not just remembering the importance of God's Word. But number three, remember the priority of living for God. That's what it's all about. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink. By the way, who taught you to eat? Mom. Who taught you to drink? Mom. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of who? Mom? No, of God. Part of that, as you and I glorify God in life, that will honor our mom. Remember the priority of living for God. It begins with knowledge. Look at verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. When we think of the word perfect today, we think of without error. Right? You got a perfect score on that test. Maybe you've got a test this week and you're like, I hope I get a perfect score. That's exciting. I always wondered, how do people get 110% on a test? You know, extra credit and all this other stuff. We think about that aspect of perfect. But in our lives, we can't be without sin. This word perfect really means complete. Completed individual. That the man of God may be perfect, complete. What makes us complete? Living for God. Knowing His Word and letting it make a difference on Monday. Not just on Sunday and Wednesday and other special meeting days. Remembering the priority of living for God. That the man of God may be perfect in knowledge. I mean, Paul's talked about all these already in verses 10 and 11, and in knowledge and in faith and in holiness and so many different details of life. That we would be complete. You think about it. For most of us, our moms, as they raised us, they wanted us to be complete. It makes me sad knowing that our oldest will leave us in the next few years. Some of you are going to experience that much sooner than we will. Some of you have already experienced all of that. But isn't that why we raise our kids? So they'll be that complete adult and be able to live on their own and function in society? But the best way to do that is being complete in God. Complete in Him. It begins with that knowledge. And it ends with a changed life. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. To finish out your time. Finish out your time. I did that at home. Some people, man, I can't wait till I'm 18. Teens, if that's you, oh, be careful. When I'm 18, I don't have to go to church anymore. Whew. Be glad to get out of my parents' roof. Would you let God dictate your life? To finish out your time, not just time in this segment of life, but time of life. If you rent a house that is furnished, what do you expect? A couch? Right? Maybe you've traveled and you've used some of these house rental features. And some of these websites, Airbnb and HomeAway, and there's some other ones out there. And when they have a furnished home, you expect furniture. And often even a washer and a dryer. And you go and you find that it's not there, you expect your money back or you leave. Or both. As you and I go through life, We're to be throughly, fully furnished, all the way to the end, with a changed life. Not because mom made a difference. Yes, she hopefully does. But it's because she's pointed you to the importance of God's Word. That God's Word makes that difference in your life. How are you going to honor your mother the best this Mother's Day? By living for God. And saying, thanks for raising me. Or by living for God and saying, Mom, God's made a difference and I honor you. Not that that's always easy. But God is always faithful. Remember the priority of living for God. If God wants you to be furnished into all good works, what does He expect? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 goes on and says, why am I saved? Unto good works. Friends, the priority of life must be living for God. Remember the priority of living for God. That's what life is about. Through all the hurts and struggles of family, are there hurts and struggles with family? Probably most of us have seen those. Not just in other families either, have we? But through all the hurts and struggles of family, we must honor God. And through that, honor our mom. Through all the benefits of godly mothers, I can't live on my godly mother's tail. I must live godly lifestyle for myself. The ultimate test of the Word of God is a changed life. It is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Scripture can make you wise to salvation, the perfect man of God, or complete and furnished for all holy living. So what's your Mother's Day gift? Maybe you got a nice gift and it's all wrapped up in a bow. Maybe you're going to do the dishes. Maybe you say, I didn't mean to forget, Mom. But let's honor God.